know, success is a curious thing. It doesn't always announce itself with trumpets. And failure, well, failure rarely knocks down the door. Most times it slips in quietly, not with a crash, but with a whisper. It's almost invisible at first, and that's what makes it so dangerous. You look around and wonder how you drifted so far from the destination you once set out for. See, if failure came with a warning sign, most would recognize it, stand guard, and do something about it. But it doesn't. It hides behind small habits, habits that seem harmless, even reasonable on their own. Skipping a morning routine just once, letting a day pass without reading, promising yourself you'll do it tomorrow. It's those little choices that open the window, just a crack, and that's all the thief needs. I've seen it too many times. People come to me and ask where they went wrong. They worked hard. They had big plans. But somewhere along the way, something slipped. Not with a bang, but with a whimper. Little habits left unchallenged, repeated day after day, became the silent thieves that stole what they'd been working for. And that's the danger, isn't it? Most people think success comes from adding more. More work, more hours, more ambition. But just as important as what you add is what you allow, what you tolerate, what you let pass unchecked. You can plant all the seeds you want, but if you let the weeds grow, pretty soon there's nothing left of your garden. Now, it's easy to spot the big mistakes, the major errors in judgment. But I'm talking about the habits so small you almost miss them. Leaving the dishes in the sink one night because you're tired. Letting a disagreement go unresolved because it's uncomfortable. Not writing that thank you note. Because after all, what's one note? These are the habits that steal your future. They creep in through the cracks, unnoticed. Each time you repeat them, they gain strength. Before you know it, you've built a wall, brick by brick, that stands between you and your potential. What's the lesson? Success isn't just about doing the right things. It's also about guarding against the wrong ones. It's about vigilance, about becoming a watchman at the gate of your own life, checking the locks, making sure the windows are shut, and not allowing even the smallest thief inside. It's a hard truth, but a necessary one. Habits shape your destiny. Not just the ones you celebrate, but the ones you excuse, the ones you rationalize, the ones you believe are too small to matter. Let me tell you, they matter. In fact, they may matter most of all. So as you consider your journey, ask yourself, what habits have I let slip in unannounced? Where have I grown complacent? What have I allowed day by day to drift out of alignment with my goals? Because if you don't catch these silent thieves early, they will take from you more than you ever imagined possible. Procrastination is a sly thief. It doesn't make a scene. It simply invites you to wait. Not forever, just for now, just until you feel ready, until you know more, until conditions are perfect. And the danger is, it sounds so reasonable. Why rush? Why not take a little more time to think, to plan, to prepare? But here's what I learned. Waiting for the right time is a trick. There's no such thing. Life rarely serves up perfect conditions. And while you're waiting, opportunities move on. The world doesn't pause for your hesitation. Every time you delay action, you lose more than just minutes or hours. You lose momentum. And momentum is a precious thing. When you're in motion, energy is high. Ideas flow. Confidence builds. But stop. Just for a day or two, and it gets harder to start again. The habit of delay becomes its own kind of gravity, pulling you further from your goals. You see, progress doesn't come from thinking about action. It comes from action itself. People sometimes tell me they're just waiting for inspiration. Inspiration is wonderful, but it tends to visit those who are already moving. Get started, and you'll be surprised how often inspiration catches up with you. Every delay has a cost, not just the work you didn't do, but the belief you didn't build. The more you wait, the more you doubt. Doubt in your ability, doubt in your resolve. The habit of waiting chips away at your self-trust. Before long, the mountain seems bigger, the task heavier, and your ambition feels just out of reach. Winners and losers often start with the same intentions. But winners act while others wait. It's not always the most talented who succeed. It's those who show up day after day, regardless of how they feel. They know the right moment is the one they make. They don't wait for conditions to improve. They get to work and let progress create its own weather. And here's something to remember. Action builds confidence. The very act of doing, even imperfectly, creates a sense of capability. You finish one thing, and suddenly you believe you can finish another. One step leads to the next. Doubt, on the other hand, grows in the shadows of inactivity. The longer you wait, the more you convince yourself you can't. I've met so many people with big plans who waited their whole lives for the right time. They missed chances, not because they lacked ability, but because they lacked momentum. Life rewards action, not intention. The world moves forward, and if you want to catch up, you have to move with it. So ask yourself, where have I been waiting for conditions to be perfect? What have I put off, hoping for a better moment? Remember, every day you wait is a day lost, not just from your calendar, but from your character. Act now and watch how quickly doubt is replaced by confidence. Momentum is fragile. Once you have it, protect it. When you lose it, fight to get it back. Don't let the thief of procrastination steal your future one quiet day at a time. And here is the next thief that will rob you of your success. Excuses. They're easy to make, aren't they? And the more skilled you become at making them, the further you drift from the results you want. Excuses are like little stories crafted to protect comfort, to shield from blame, to let weakness hide behind something that sounds reasonable. Over the years, I've watched people explain away missed opportunities with a kind of creativity that could have built a fortune if applied to solving problems instead of explaining them. The weather, the economy, a difficult childhood, lack of support, timing, the list is endless. There's always something outside to blame for what's not working inside. But here's what happens. Every excuse you make, every story you spin to defend a lack of progress quietly drains energy from the only place it matters, your ability to fix what needs fixing. The time you spend justifying is time you don't spend improving. You can't move forward with one foot in the story and one foot in reality. There's a simple but tough truth you have to accept. You can have reasons or you can have results, but you can't have both. Reasons make you comfortable in the moment. Results make you proud for a lifetime. People ask me, what's the difference between those who succeed and those who don't? It's not that one group had fewer obstacles. Often it's the opposite. The difference is in the response. Some people respond to setbacks with excuses, while others respond with action. Some seek understanding, others seek escape. The first group moves forward. The second stays stuck. I remember a young man who told me all the reasons he couldn't start his business. No money, no connections, no experience. But as the months passed, his story grew longer, not shorter. The more skilled he became at defending his inaction, the less energy he had to do anything about it. One day he realized his story had become a cage. He was trapped by his own explanations. You see, the world rarely rewards those who are good at explaining why they didn't win. It rewards those who take ownership, who say, "This is my responsibility, no matter the circumstance, no matter the odds." Responsibility is the foundation on which everything else is built. When you claim it, you gain power. When you avoid it, you give that power away. So ask yourself honestly, what excuses have I been making? Where have I been telling stories instead of taking steps? It takes courage to face your own explanations, to admit that comfort has been more important than change. But once you do, you reclaim all the energy that was lost in justification. Every minute spent making an excuse is a minute not spent making progress. Trade your stories for strategies. Trade your reasons for results. Let responsibility become your ally. When you do, you'll find that many obstacles vanish. Not because the world changed, but because you did. Next, distraction. Now there's a modern disease if there ever was one. It's never been easier to lose focus. So many things tug at your attention every minute. A phone buzzing, news flashing, someone asking for just a moment of your time. Before you know it, hours have slipped away, lost not to meaningful work, but to trivial pursuits that leave nothing behind but fatigue. Success demands focus, and focus requires intention. The average person today is pulled in 100 directions, and most of those directions lead nowhere special. It's easy to say yes to every request, every notification, every new piece of gossip, thinking you can handle it all. But every yes to distraction is a no to achievement. You have to treat your attention like it's capital in the bank. If you spend it on things that don't matter, don't be surprised when you come up short where it does. What you give attention to grows. Water the weeds, and they'll take over the garden. Water the flowers, and beauty follows. I remember when I was building my career, distractions were different, but the principle was the same. Maybe it was the television, the radio, idle conversations at the coffee shop. Whatever form it takes, distraction is always there, waiting to pull you away from your purpose if you're not vigilant. And it's not just about the obvious time wasters. Sometimes it's the little interruptions that add up. A few minutes here, a few minutes there. Check the news, check the phone, check on a friend's opinion. Each interruption by itself seems harmless, but pile them together and you've lost not just time, but your best mental energy. What happens to the person who lives distracted? Their goals move further away. Their plans are always started, never finished. Their dreams remain dreams, never reality. Meanwhile, those who protect their focus move steadily toward what matters. They accomplish more in an hour than others do in a day, simply because they chose what to ignore. You must become ruthless with your attention. Guard it the way you'd guard a treasure. Put up boundaries. Learn to say no. Turn off the noise when it's time to work. There's nothing noble about knowing every headline or answering every message the moment it arrives. Nobility is found in building something meaningful with your day. Distraction will rob you blind if you let it, and it does so quietly, with your permission. The day slips by, and you wonder where it went. You were busy, but you weren't productive. The urgent things pushed out the important ones. So ask yourself, what am I giving my attention to? What needs to be cut so I can focus on what truly matters? Take inventory, be honest. Every hour is an investment. Make sure you're investing in the right place. Success isn't built in the scattered hours spent here and there. It's built in the focused blocks of time where all your energy goes in one direction. Protect your attention. Let it work for you, not against you. That's how you turn a day into progress and a life into achievement. Here's the next thief that you got to keep your eye on. Neglect. You see, neglect is a quiet thing. It doesn't announce itself with a crash or a warning. It just creeps in little by little until what once was strong begins to wear down. You don't lose success overnight. It's lost in small moments through little acts of ignoring the basics, the simple disciplines that once brought you progress. Think about it. Nobody wakes up one morning in crisis. Crisis is built day by day out of neglect. Skip your reading for a day, then two, then a week. Stop checking in on your goals. Let relationships slide because you're too busy. Ignore your health because you'll get to it soon. At first, nothing seems to change, but over time, the foundation weakens. The basics always matter. Your health, your learning, your relationships, these are pillars. Ignore them, and the structure doesn't fall in a single day. But one morning, you look around and wonder why you feel tired, disconnected, behind. That's the slow work of neglect. Quiet, steady, and relentless. I've seen business people lose their edge, not because of one big mistake, but because they stopped paying attention to the small details. They let the paperwork pile up. They missed a few calls. They assumed the customers would always be there. Then one day the numbers didn't add up. The clients went elsewhere. And all that happened was a bit of neglect day after day. It's the same in personal life. A friendship is strong, so you think it can withstand a little distance. But weeks go by without a call, and suddenly it's awkward. You don't know what happened. It was just neglect, wearing away at what once was valuable. And health, oh, how easy it is to let that slide. Skip the morning walk, eat whatever's convenient, sleep a little less. No big change at first, but neglect is patient. Over the months and years, it takes a toll that's hard to reverse. You can always trace a crisis back to moments of neglect. Not doing what you know you should have done, letting the basics erode. The fix is never dramatic. It's just a return to discipline, a recommitment to the little things. Pick up the book again. Reach out to someone you care about. Get back to the habits that once built your success. So ask yourself, where have I let neglect creep in? What basics have I set aside, thinking they could wait? Don't wait for a crisis to remind you of what matters. Take inventory now. Restore the disciplines. Build the foundation strong again. Success is maintained by tending to the basics, not once in a while, but every day. Neglect nothing that truly matters, and you'll find crisis keeps its distance. Next, comfort, the hidden trap. It's so inviting, so pleasant. After all the work, the striving, the sacrifice, comfort calls out. You deserve a break, it says. You've earned a rest, but comfort, if left unchecked, can do what hardship never could. Slowly pull you back from progress while disguising itself as peace. I've watched it happen so many times. Someone works hard, builds something good, achieves a level of success. Then the urgency that once fueled their discipline begins to fade. The habits that built their foundation get replaced by routines that simply maintain the status quo. Before long, they're coasting. The edge is gone. That's the danger. Comfort feels like reward, but too much of it is regression in disguise. You see, the same habits that built your success are the ones required to sustain it. Progress doesn't end because you reached a certain level. If you let comfort turn your drive into drift, you'll find yourself slipping. Not quickly, but gradually, almost without noticing. Comfort says, take it easy. Ambition says, stay sharp. One says, you've done enough. The other asks, what more is possible? It's easy to listen to the first voice, especially after a victory. But the next season of success is always built on today's choices, not yesterday's achievements. Now, I'm not talking about healthy rest. Rest restores you. Rest is intentional, planned, a reward for focused effort. Comfort, on the other hand, is a lullaby. It convinces you to stop growing, stop pushing, stop reaching for more. And that's when it becomes dangerous. Think back to a time when you let up after a win. Maybe you stopped studying. Maybe you stopped making those early calls. Or you celebrated so long you forgot to get back to work. At first, nothing seemed different. But over time, your standards slipped. Performance declined. And all because comfort made you believe the job was finished. Success is never a permanent state. It's something you earn each day. The disciplines that brought you this far can't be replaced by ease. They must become a way of life. So ask yourself, have I let comfort steal my edge? Have I mistaken a plateau for the finish line? It's a subtle trap, one that catches the best of us if we're not careful. Make peace with progress, not with comfort. Let achievement be your rest, not drifting, not settling, but knowing you pushed a little further, grew a little stronger, learned a little more. That's the kind of satisfaction that builds real peace of mind. If you want to keep success, guard against comfort's quiet pull. Remember, the journey isn't over because you reached a milestone. It's only over when you stop growing. Here's the next thief, the you must keep away from you, mind in your pockets. They call it association drift. And it happens so quietly you hardly notice. You start out with ambition, drive, and clear intentions. But over time, the people you spend your days with begin to shape your standards, your attitude, even your goals. It's automatic, like gravity. You adapt to the average of those around you, whether you mean to or not. You see, environment is more powerful than willpower. You can have the best intentions, the strongest disciplines, but if you surround yourself with people who don't expect much, who don't strive for more, pretty soon your standards begin to slip. Not overnight, not all at once, but little by little. What was once unacceptable becomes normal. The edge dulls. I've seen this play out in every area, business, health, even family life. A person with high ambitions starts spending time with those who are content to drift, who believe excellence is too much trouble, who prefer comfort to growth. And as the weeks pass, the ambitious one finds it easier to make excuses, to let things slide, to aim lower than before. Association drift is subtle. Nobody announces, let's lower our standards today. It happens in conversation, in attitudes, in the way problems are handled. When you're surrounded by people who settle, you learn to settle. When you're surrounded by those who push, who strive, who challenge you, your best becomes the expectation. I remember meeting a young entrepreneur with big plans, but his circle didn't share his vision. They laughed at hard work, dismissed big dreams, and doubted anyone who tried to break away from the crowd. It wasn't long before he found himself hesitating, second-guessing, holding back. Not because his dreams had changed, but because his environment made it harder to believe. It works in reverse, too. Put someone in a room full of high achievers and watch how quickly they raise their standards. Suddenly, showing up early is normal. Finishing what you start is expected. Talking about goals, reading, learning, pushing. The atmosphere lifts you up. Excellence becomes contagious. You don't have to cut everyone out of your life, But you do have to choose your primary environments with care. Seek out people who demand your best. Spend time where ambition is celebrated, not criticized. Let the pull of excellence lift you higher. Ask yourself, who am I becoming like? What do my closest associations expect from me? Are they pulling me up or letting me drift down? Don't let association drift rob you of your edge. Stand guard at the door of your environment. Choose to spend your best time with those who expect you to grow, to stretch, to achieve. Your standards and your results will rise to match. Emotional reactivity is a habit that can undo years of effort in a single moment. When you lose control over your emotions, you give up control over your direction. Instead of steering the course, you find yourself at the mercy of every bump in the road, every slight, every criticism, every unexpected delay. I've seen good people lose their way because they let a moment of anger set the agenda for the day. One harsh word, one piece of bad news, and all the plans go out the window. Reacting without thinking becomes the default. And pretty soon every situation feels urgent, every setback feels personal. But here's the truth. Success belongs to those who discipline the mind, not to those who never feel, but to those who know how to pause, reflect, and choose their response. Discipline is not about coldness. It's about wisdom. It's the ability to say, let me think before I act. Let me understand before I judge. It's easy to justify emotional outbursts. That's just the way I am. Anyone would have reacted the same way, but every time you react without intention, you hand over your energy to something or someone else. The energy you could have used to solve a problem, build a relationship, or move forward is now wasted in the fires of frustration or hurt pride. Over time, this habit costs more than you realize. Relationships are strained, opportunities are missed, momentum is lost, not because of lack of skill or intelligence, but because emotions ran the show. I remember a business owner who let every minor setback send him into a tailspin. Orders delayed, customers complained, employees made mistakes. Each time, he reacted instantly and emotionally. Not only did it exhaust him, but it drove good people away. Eventually, he saw that what needed managing wasn't the world around him, but his own responses. Self-mastery is one of the most powerful tools you can have. When you learn to observe your feelings without being ruled by them, you gain an edge. You respond instead of react. You can keep moving forward, even when circumstances are less than ideal. Ask yourself, how much time and energy have I lost this year to anger, frustration, worry, or resentment? What would be possible if that energy were redirected into growth, solutions, and creativity? You don't have to become emotionless. You simply have to become wise. Use emotions as information, not as orders. Pause, reflect, choose. With practice, you become the master of your fate, not the victim of circumstance. Discipline the mind, and you'll find success follows. Control your responses, and you control your destiny. Now, one of the biggest thieves of success is simply the lack of review. I'm telling you, this is one of the quietest, most overlooked habits that can steal your future. It sounds simple, even harmless, to just move from one week to the next without looking back. After all, you're busy. There's always something new to chase, another problem to solve, another opportunity to consider. But when you don't pause to reflect, mistakes repeat themselves, and progress becomes an accident rather than a plan. Winners review their week, their habits, their goals. They want to know, did I do what I set out to do? Where did I get off track? What did I learn? Success is maintained by inspection. Unexamined behavior leads to silent decline. Not because you're not trying, but because you're not noticing. I've met people who couldn't understand why they weren't getting ahead. They worked hard, put in the hours, stayed busy, But every year looked a lot like the last. Why? Because without review, they never caught the small errors, the drift from their original purpose, the habits that had started to work against them instead of for them. Life rewards those who learn, not just those who labor. The difference is in the review. Just as a pilot checks the instruments and adjusts the course, you have to inspect your days and adjust your direction. Otherwise, you drift slowly, silently, until one day you're far from where you meant to be. Take the time to review. It doesn't have to be complicated. A few quiet minutes at the end of each week. A moment to look at your habits and ask, what's working? What isn't? Where did I waste time? Where did I make progress? The act of looking back, honestly and without excuse, is what allows you to move forward with intention. Reflection isn't about guilt or regret. It's about learning. It's about making tomorrow better than today, not by luck, but by design. The discipline of review creates a cycle of improvement. You catch yourself sooner, adjust faster, and see growth where others see repetition. Ask yourself, when was the last time I really reviewed my week, my habits, my goals? Where have I allowed drift because I wasn't paying attention? Success isn't just about big wins. It's about constant course correction. Don't let the lack of review become a silent thief in your life. Inspect what you expect. Take the time to reflect, to learn, to adjust. That's how winners keep winning. Not by chance, but by choice. And here's the key. I call it the replacement rule. Now this is where real change begins. You can't just remove bad habits. Nature doesn't tolerate a vacuum. If you try to simply stop doing what isn't serving you, something else will rush in to fill the space. Often the very same habit you tried to get rid of, or one just as unproductive. The secret isn't subtraction, it's replacement. You have to trade one habit for another, one routine for a better one, one thought pattern for something stronger. Every minute that was lost to procrastination can be reclaimed with intention, by filling it with scheduling, with action, with meaningful work. If you find yourself making excuses, don't just silence the voice. Give it a better job. Replace excuse making with accountability. Find someone who will challenge your stories, who will ask you for progress, not just promises. Trade distraction for focus. That means building routines that make it easier to ignore the noise, setting boundaries, creating space where your best work happens. You see, your time and energy are always being spent. The only question is, on what? If you take away what's wasting your future, but don't put something better in its place, you leave the door open for old patterns to sneak back in. The mind loves routine. If you give it nothing, it will find something, and that something is usually what's familiar. The person who succeeds at lasting change doesn't just uproot weeds, they plant flowers in their place. It's not enough to stop drifting, you have to start steering. Not enough to stop complaining, you have to start building. And how do we make this work in our own life? You trade those late nights of worry for early mornings of planning. Replace gossip with meaningful conversation. Exchange a habit of delay for a habit of daily action, even if small. That's how you create momentum, by building a new pattern where the old one stood. And don't underestimate how powerful small replacements can be. One tiny change, repeated daily, grows into a new identity. The person who schedules their priorities instead of leaving them to chance becomes known for reliability. The one who invests their attention in what matters finds their life full of progress, not just busyness. Ask yourself, what habit have I tried to remove, only to see it return? What could I put in its place that would serve my goals, my health, my growth? It's not enough to subtract, replace. Build something new and let it crowd out the old. The replacement rule is the foundation of transformation. If you fill your days with purpose, there's no room left for the silent thieves. Trade the habits that steal for the habits that build. Do this, and you'll find success isn't just a moment, it becomes a way of life. We'll be right back.